Welcome to the Movie Film Show, featuring the insightful reviews of Mr. Movie and Mr. Film. This week we review The Green Hornet and The Dilemma. And now, here are Mr. Film and Mr. Movie.
Hello, I'm Mr. Film.
And I'm Mr. Movie. And for our first review, Sony's Columbia Pictures brings us the PG-13 rated The Green Hornet, yet another comic book turned movie, this time starring Seth Rogen as the Green Hornet, Jay Chou as his sidekick, and Cameron Diaz, who isn't really in the movie much.
Think about this, Kato. We've been completely wasting our potential. The city needs our help. We could be heroes. Here's what will make us different. We will pose as villains to get close to the bad guys. That way, no one will suspect we're really the good guys.
I want you to take my hand, and I want you to come with me on this adventure.
I'll go with you, but I don't want to touch you.
Okay, you don't have to take my hand, but will you come with me on this adventure?
Okay.
Yes.
What do we call him?
The Green Hornet.
Seth Rogen plays Brett Reed, a.k.a. The Green Hornet, the son of the last independent newspaper mogul in Los Angeles. Brett's father is portrayed by Tom Wilkinson as someone who cares more about protecting the integrity of his newspaper than being a good father. He dies in the first act, apparently by a bee sting or something stupid like that, and Rogen, who is basically a worthless playboy with too much money to blow, inherits his father's fortune and his newspaper business. This sounds a bit like the setup for Mr. Deeds Goes to Town, which was poorly remade in 2002 starring Adam Sandler. Still, there was a charm to Sandler's Mr. Deeds, and this is, unfortunately, what's lacking here. Through a series of events, Rogen decides to hire his father's ex-car caretaker and gadget maker Kato, played by Jay Chou, and go fight crime. But there's a twist here. You see, he wants to beat up the bad guys while at the same time be perceived as a bad guy himself by the police and whatnot. Apparently, this is supposed to be cool, I guess, but it's not. Rogen is an obnoxious, belligerent jerk, and the only reason the multi-talented Kato sticks around is because Rogen's got the goodies, the money and the cars and the toys that he can play with. It's basically Mr. Deeds meets Batman with a let's party attitude. And why sidekick Kato sticks around is anyone's guess. Couldn't he have found another billionaire to play superhero with? I mean, I would have rather seen Kato team up with a nerdy software company giant like Bill Gates or Mark Zuckerberg. Now that would have been fun, Mr. Film. Call it the social kick-ass or something. Imagine a Bill Gates type driving around with Seth Rogen in a muscle car, and they infiltrate and blow up a sweatshop manufacturing counterfeit copies of Windows 7, and then post to Facebook, pirating software is for pussies. I guess if you want to see some action and gadgets, there's something to be had here. The budget is big enough to afford some high-stakes stunts and special effects, so one can admire those. And I liked Kato, but I ended up pitying him more than anything. Now, as a side note, this movie is being offered in 3D, but I opted for the 2D version, and I'm glad I did. I can't imagine much being offered here, unless you want to pay an extra admission fee to have a wait on your face for 2 hours. And the bad guys in this, Mr. Film, were pretty good, so for that reason, I'm going to give it a C+.
All right, Mr. Movie. I have to agree that this wasn't the best superhero satire we've seen. Kick-Ass, which if you remember, I put on my best list last show, was about 50 times better. But this is exactly what the film is, and a satire. And on that level, it works mostly. Now, I agree with you that Rogen's Brett Reed is a worthless playboy who's really out of his league. But basically what Rogen as screenwriter, he co-wrote the script,
yeah,
is playing with is the Batman and Iron Man conceit that we've seen in the last few years. The fake, worthless playboy who's really the superhero, you know, kick-ass hero. And the Green Hornet's conceit, pretending to be a bad guy while being really on the side of the good guys without them knowing it, is brilliant. And that's what made the original radio and then the TV series so popular. And there is a couple of nice, homages to the original radio show and to Bruce Lee, who played Kato in the TV series and how he came to the notice of American audiences. So those are kind of nice. I did like the fact that Reed and Kato had no idea what they were doing. and that it was the sidekick who really did all the dirty work, with the boss taking the credit. Now, that's not a new idea, but it still kind of worked for me. But I agree with you on a couple of other points. Cameron Diaz is pretty much wasted here. They did some interesting stuff with her character at the end, but I think that could have been introduced a bit earlier. There's a whole bunch of like sexist stuff that Seth Rogen's character does that he's hitting on her, which got old fast.
And went nowhere.
It went nowhere. It really wasn't very interesting because she's playing a smart character who's not going to put up with it. And she really is kind of the brains of the outfit. I don't want to give too much away, but she really is kind of the brains of the outfit throughout the film. But more important is that I, too, opted out of the 3D version of the film. Now, the picture was not shot in 3D, and that is an important thing to realize as you're going in. It was converted into a 3D version, and this is kind of a quick and dirty way for filmmakers to kind of take advantage of the current 3D craze right now, and I really dislike it. Generally, I don't think it adds anything. We saw Airbender earlier this year was one of those pictures that was converted post-production into a 3D picture. Didn't quite work. Clash of the Titans, the same kind of thing. Didn't quite work. Does damage the picture quality a little bit. So if you know that they didn't shoot it in 3D, I say opt out of that. Try to see it in 2D. I'm glad I saw the flat version of the picture because of that. Now, while I like the film, at least big portions of it, I think the biggest flaw is the pacing. It takes way too long to get to the cool gadgets and the crime-fighting stuff. The final set piece was also a bit over the top, even for an over-the-top film. So be prepared for that. Just hold on. If you're still with the film at the end, just hold on. It gets crazy. And again, it sort of works, but not really. Now, I do want to point out Christoph Waltz's performance as Chudnovsky. And if you remember, he was in Inglourious Basterds last year and was terrific. He's probably has one of the most interesting parts in the film, at least for me. It's a great comic performance, and the running gag of an insecure crime boss was pretty funny.
Yeah, I thought that worked. That was the thing that worked the best for me in the movie. Him,
it really did. There's a great the opening scene. There's a great cameo by with James Franco, and which is terrific scene. And Waltz is really proving himself to be one of those kinds of actors who, you know, could just go in, read the phone book, and make it thoroughly entertaining. So I don't think we have a huge disagreement on this picture, but I have to disagree with your low grade, Mr. Movie. I say check out The Green Hornet, at least in 2D, as a stopgap before the big action pieces we're going to see in a couple of months. There's a couple, I think, coming up the pike that are going to be at least interesting. If they fail, at least they'll be interesting failures. This is entertaining, exciting, and yes, a little funny, too. So I'm giving it a B.
Okay, I think that's just too generous. And you know, I disagree with you a little bit on the humor here. You know, they're... You said they're kind of making fun of, you know, the Batman and the Iron Man kind of thing. But what I don't like about that is they're making fun of what's good about them. So it's like you're kind of tearing down something that's good, which really just isn't up my alley. If you're making fun of, you know, repetition and things that are just becoming trite, I mean, that's fine. But I actually like that aspect of Batman and Iron Man, that they're these sort of wealthy, good superheroes. And so, I mean, you know, that didn't work for me on that level at all.
Okay. I mean, I could see how that wouldn't work for you, but I did like the action stuff. I thought some of that was pretty cool. I like Kato's character quite a bit, and the original TV series, in particular, about 40 years ago. That's the reason why you watch the show.
He's fun.
Hell out of people.
And he's fun in this. You know, he's you know, but at a certain point, you're just like, why are you hanging around with this loser? You know, get out of the picture and go do something else.
Exactly. And I think you might be on to something for a sequel. So I think you should copyright that and maybe call up Seth Rogen or some of the powers that be down the way. Maybe you can have the purple wasp or something. So, well, moving on. To our next
That's why
picture.
We're reviewing movies and not writing them.
Yeah, true. Okay, so moving on. I think we're finished with the crime fighting. Moving on to our next picture, which poses the interesting And kind of philosophical question, what would you do if you knew your best friend's wife was cheating on him? And that's what Ron Howard asks in The Dilemma.
I just saw my best friend's wife with another man. How you like me now? Oh, my God.
You've got to tell him. It's guy code, man.
You got to go right up to him and you got to say it to him.
Nick, here's the truth.
You're going to be okay.
I love you, my man. Come here.
I saw it all, Geneva.
I'm going to tell him.
I'm going to deny it, and then I'm going to say you made a pass at me.
That there's something that I have to fix.
You're not fixing anything. You're breaking more stuff.
Vince Vaughn and Kevin James play business partners and best friends, Ronnie Valentine and Nick Brannan. They're on the cusp of the biggest business deal of their careers as automotive engine designers, and Ronnie is getting ready to propose to longtime girlfriend Beth, who's played by Jennifer Connelly. All is going swimmingly until Ronnie sees Nick's wife, Geneva, played by Winona Ryder, with a hunky young stud. Hilarity and some dark, icky moments ensue. The Dilemma is a kind of a strange film. It wants to be a comedy, and it's being marketed that way. And it includes the requisite urination jokes and uncomfortable social situations demanded of today's so-called comedies. But at root, it's a dark domestic dramedy. I guess that really explores some really tough and rough territory. When Ronnie confronts Geneva about her infidelity, she warns him off by telling him that he doesn't know the whole story about her marriage. And guess what? He doesn't. The more he learns, the more complicated the whole situation becomes. And I guess the more horrible things happen to him, we're supposed to be laughing more. But you're really not. Sure, there's a weird fight between Ronnie and Geneva's aptly named lover, Zip, played by Channing Tatum, and a recurring slew of bizarre sex talk from Queen Latifah, who plays a car company exec. But at root, the PG-13 picture from Universal is looking at some serious issues about fidelity, loyalty, the nature of marriage, and friendship. As a more honest comedic drama, the picture would have worked. But the attempts to glob on the stupid humor stuff, including an excruciating scene in which Ronnie makes a toast to his soon-to-be in-laws during their 40th wedding anniversary, just doesn't work. With all that, I didn't dislike the picture either. I actually liked the resolution, though at 2 hours, the picture is overlong by about 20 minutes. And I think when we're avoiding the so-called comedy junk, it's a worthwhile and kind of interesting picture. I think it brings up some interesting points and is constructed in kind of an interesting sort of way. So not a success, but not a complete failure either. I'm going to give this a C+.
Well, I think you really hit the nail on the head here, Mr. Film.
Okay.
I'm with you on this 100%. I mean, it's really not that funny, but the drama aspect of it works. You know, like you mentioned, there's more depth here than the trailer suggests, and that's an interesting aspect of the dilemma. And you really question, like, well, you know, there is more here, so should he get involved or not, or butt out? Those are interesting questions, and ones that I think you'll walk out of the theater and discussing, you know, with your friends and family and whatnot. That toast scene you mentioned, big miss. And most of the comedy here just doesn't work. I mean, there's a couple of chuckles here and there, but for the most part, what's memorable about this movie is the actual drama aspect. So I was kind of more interested in the relationship of Kevin James and Winona Ryder. I think if the movie had really been more about them, I think it could have worked because there was more there. And then you're sort of seeing it from the outside, and you don't really know what's going on. And I guess that's kind of the point. But
yeah,
but you know, at the end of the day, there's some interesting stuff here. You know, but I don't know. It just didn't totally work for me. And I also thought that Winona Ryder looked a little bit strange in this for some reason. I couldn't really put my finger on it. I don't know. She just looked a little disheveled or crooked or something.
Yeah. But, yeah. There was something about that. And I don't know if it was because at some point she was supposed to play the evil character who's cheating on this good-natured schlub. And,
yeah.
But it is more complicated than that. So,
I'm with you on this. I think C+ is right, but I'm going to give it a B- just because I liked it a little bit more than The Green Hornet. And I think it's a little bit more memorable than that. So I'm going to go with B minus on this one.
I think that's really, if it had been more of a dramatic piece, I think it would have been, it would have worked a lot better. And they all had these really dark, there's a lot of other dark stuff that we didn't talk about. Vince Vaughn's character is a recovering gambling addict.
Right.
Kevin James is, you know, his character is calling into question. He has this big crisis of self-confidence. There's a bunch of other stuff like that going on. The comedy stuff just kind of gets in the way of it. And I think it would have been much more interesting as a drama. And this is the first comedy, their so-called comedy, that Ron Howard's done in about 10 years. And I think he's just got too much of the drama stuff still in his brain. And he's kind of losing. Maybe he just needed to get more, you know, watch the Three Stooges or something for a couple months to kind of really get back into the
this is kind of a drama with the Vince Vaughn shtick thrown in.
Yeah.
And I like that friendship and that Vince Vaughn is sort of the motivator and the leader of the group, and Kevin James is this sort of, you know, smart guy, but he lacks a little bit of self-confidence. Like, that was a good dynamic, and I think that worked.
Yeah.
And you can really see why they're good friends and why there's a strong friendship there. So, you know, that aspect of the picture, I think worked and set up the, you know, I guess the quote unquote, the dilemma fairly well. But, And Jennifer Connelly didn't really work for me in this. I mean, I'm not a big fan of hers, so, you know, take that for what it's worth. But I thought she was a little bit stale and just sort of a fill-in for, you know, sort of the girlfriend.
Exactly. It's one of those kind of parts I think anybody, any pretty actress could play, could have played that part. There wasn't much there. She didn't have a lot to do. It just, again, added another level of complications into Vince Vaughn's life and was kind of the entryway into that bizarre speech that he gives, which is in the trailer. So we're not giving anything away. So just imagine that for about 8 minutes, because I think it's about an eight or 10 minute scene, and it is excruciatingly painful. So it's a strange film. So the whole time when I was watching it, I thought, this is one of the strangest films that I've seen. So is a drama great? Is a comedy not so good? Those are our reviews for this week. On our next show, we're going to be looking at No Strings Attached, another rom-com, this time featuring Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher.
A little bit of a dilemma in there, too, in that, you know, they're sort of best friends, or they're friends who, you know, want to have friends with benefits kind of thing. So.
Exactly. We'll also be looking at The Company Men and The Way Back, a Cold War thriller from Peter Weir. So some good pictures for next week.
Well, as always, visit our website at www.moviefilmshow.com. If you have a comment, question, or want to send us some feedback, just write to mail@moviefilmshow. And of course, please subscribe to us in iTunes. Just go to our website and click on the iTunes link and subscribe to us that way. And please be sure to review the show in iTunes. That helps us out a lot. And Mr. Film, I'll see you next show.
I'll see you next show, Mr. Movie.
They're making fun of what's good about them.
Some dark, icky moments ensue. What would you do if you knew your best friend's wife was cheating on him?
Something stupid like that.
Urination jokes and uncomfortable social situations. A hunky young stud.
Disheveled or crooked or something. Couldn't he have found another billionaire to play superhero with?
And guess what? He doesn't.
But I opted for the 2D version.
I, too, opted out of the 3D version.
Apparently, this is supposed to be cool. An obnoxious, belligerent jerk.
It's a great comic performance and the running gag of an insecure crime boss.
Go fight crime.
I'm glad I saw the flat version. It gets crazy, and I really dislike it.
That's why we're reviewing movies and not writing them.
Yeah, true.